This PowerPoint almost looks better than the one this morning. Not having one at all. Tonight, we want to look at biblical authority. The concept of the Bible and the authority determines our religious views. The Christian's concept of the Bible and its authority is what I want to talk about tonight. How God is the only authority in religion, and the Bible is God's way of making His will known to man in this current time. We live in probably the most independent nation in the world. And each generation raises its children to be more independent than the one before. Typically, as a nation, we don't like to be told what to do, and we don't like to be dependent. Americans want what they want, and they usually want it right now. So naturally, in this independent world, with that independent worldview, that also carries over into religion. Americans are unsuccessfully trying to mold God into their own image. A lot of people want to amend God's law to conform to what the social standards or social norms are of the time. Worship becomes a time when it's all about pleasing the worshipers. And so, for the most part, right and wrong are no longer factors when someone is selecting a church. But the truth is that God has always been repulsed by religious independence. If you look at the very first case of worshiping, 50% of the people that were worshiping God were rejected. Cain, his sacrifice was not accepted. Now, you can't say that Cain didn't want to please God. Cain desired to be accepted by God, but he didn't conform to that standard that was set. He didn't offer any blood. And you also can look at Nadab and Abihu, and I'm going to say that wrong, because they were burned to death for their improper worship. God had told them which fire was forbidden and to go elsewhere to get it. But they worshiped according to their own conscience and their own convenience. And that story, I believe, is put in the scripture for a reason. To this very day, men are still trying to govern God's church and trying to make rules, whether it be through creeds and confessions or councils and conventions, people that have their own disciplines, people that only believe in one translation or the other. And what has become the result of all that? Well, you have competing authorities that have led to chaos. They've led to disunity. And eventually, it's led to judgment. We all understand that there has to be an agreement on authority before there can be any unity. As children make up games in the backyard, they make up their own rules. But when it becomes competitive sports, that requires that everyone accepts the same set of rules. Every has their own that govern the game. The most significant result is that God has rejected many who desire to please Him. God is the ultimate authority in the universe, and He is the one and only sovereign. When you talk about authority, the very definition of authority is the power or right to give orders, to make decisions, and to enforce obedience. The sovereign is possessing supreme or ultimate power. And in all creation, God is sovereign. The mightiest king on earth at one time was forced to acknowledge God's sovereignty. If you look over to Daniel, the fourth chapter, they're talking about Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4, verse 25 towards the end. There it says, seven periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is the ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it upon whomever he wishes. And a little bit later, in chapter 4, verse 35, it says, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? This concept was taught to God's people of old. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17, there the word is given, for the Lord your God is the God of gods, is the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who does not show partiality or take a bribe. This same concept is continued in the New Testament, where Paul, writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:15, says, he who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. God is going to reign sovereignly throughout all of eternity. John in Revelation 19:6 hears the host say, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him. God the Father then delegated all authority to God the Son. On that Mount of Transfiguration, the sovereign God commanded all to listen to Jesus. And Mark records it in Mark 9, verse 7, where he says that a cloud overshadowing them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. God sent his only begotten Son to be his spokesperson, to be his ambassador. And that is the case, the opening two verses in Hebrews chapter 1, where the writer there says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. And Jesus, while on this earth, claimed to have the authority of God. In Matthew 28:18, it says, Jesus came to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. The words of Jesus have the authority of God. In John, the 12th chapter and verse 48, there Jesus says that he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. And from there, Jesus gave his authoritative word for the apostles to proclaim. Jesus gave them the Holy Spirit to teach them what they were to go out and tell. And in John, the 14th chapter there, Jesus says in 25 and 26, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And then he continues on in John 16, verses 13 and 14. He says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. God now speaks through mankind, through the apostles which Jesus ordained. And the words which Jesus gave to the apostles were the words from God. In John 17, verses 7 through 8, as Jesus is praying, there he says, now that they come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given them, and they have received them, and truly understood that I came from you. And they believed that you sent me. The Holy Spirit brought the words to their memory. But Jesus had already given those words to them. John 17:14, there again Jesus says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. And in John 17:18-20, again, Jesus praying, said, as you have sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who also believe in me through their word. The apostles were inspired by God to write down what they had received. In Revelation 1, verse 11, there John records Christ saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches. The things that are written by the apostles are the authoritative commands of God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14:37, that if anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment. Man's eternal salvation depends upon his receiving and obeying and remaining faithful to the words of the apostles. The apostles taught what was inspired by God to teach. Paul, again, to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, he says to them, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Freedom from sin only occurs after faith causes one to obey a form of teaching. To the church of Rome in Romans 6, verses 17 and 18, Paul says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Today, there are many who accept the inspiration of Scripture, but they debate the authority. Some believe that whatever the Scriptures do not expressly forbid, they allow. Being under the law of faith, of course, Christians do have considerable freedom. We are not given a list of do nots like the Israel of old. But Christians are also expected to seek the will of God in all things. We understand that those men of old, the thou shalt not, it is required, is not required if a positive command has been given. If you look in Genesis 4, Cain would not have been upset at the rejection if he had not violated a command. Nadab would not have been upset or would not have known they had done wrong had they not been told which fire not to get. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, there we hear of Uzzah who touches the ark, and he didn't touch the ark what he thought was irreverently, but God had given strict orders on who was to touch the ark. Deuteronomy 10:8 told them that only the Levitical priests were to touch the ark. King David was afraid of the Lord because of his error, but he was blessed upon his repentance. A positive command eliminates all else. If you are to send your spouse to the store to get 2% milk, that eliminates a quart, a half gallon, and it's understood to be cow's milk. The Scripture has to be understood in the culture in which it was written. The Scriptures are given to us in narrative form rather than a check mark of commandments. There is not a command given to go for every situation, but there is a principle. There is no written command that says you shouldn't take a rubber band and tie your arm and shoot heroin into your veins. but we're told not to be drunk on wine. And so we can kind of deduce that maybe heroin is not a sin as well. Things like that. There's no specific dress code given because it's different in every culture. Women are to dress modestly. Christians are to dress appropriate to their gender. One who seeks a commandment to cover every single thing is forced into extremes. They often try to make an example into a command. And I think that can mislead people to have a formula that says that the background command and a New Testament example of how it was done, then that example becomes binding. And here are a couple of examples I'll give that prove the folly of this error. There are brethren who only partake of the Lord's Supper upstairs. Because that is what it is written, is that they met in the upper room, and that is where the Lord's Supper was to be given. Likewise, they only take the Lord's Supper at night, because it was evening when Christ bestowed the Lord's Supper upon the apostles. And their reasoning, again, is the same as above. But being a Christian requires that we use scriptures properly. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, to be diligent, to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. We all have the ability to read and to understand scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, Paul there says that by revelation that was made known to me, but the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. The scripture provides all the information one needs to be saved and to please God. Peter writes in 2 Peter 1, verses 2 and 3, that grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. The scripture establishes boundaries to that limit of what we can do. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4:6, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written. Kind of think in my own personal belief that those who seek to bind example violate this verse that Paul gives here. In 2 John verse 9, there John says, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. We are constantly seeking to understand why we accept the Bible as our only source of authority in matters of faith and practice. And I hope very generically tonight that we've took note that God is sovereign and He alone commands us. That then God delegated that authority to Jesus. And then that Jesus came from God the Father, and He bestowed those teachings upon the apostles. And the Holy Spirit came to ensure that the apostles remembered what Jesus taught. And then the apostles wrote down all the teachings that we need to know to be saved and to live godly. And then the responsibility for us to learn what they wrote and to apply it to our lives properly. The Bible tells us that we have the ability to understand the scriptures. We have also seen that God does not accept all worship that is offered to Him. We've talked about those Old Testament examples. The death of Uzzah taught us that good intentions does not excuse violations. Jesus warned us that some believers who think that they are serving him are going to be lost. And he said it with his own words in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, where he said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then Jesus says, 'Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" If one is not obeying the revealed will of God, nothing that he does is acceptable. We want our worship and our lives to be pleasing to God, so we seek to do his will. And his will is only found in his revealed word, in the scripture, the Bible. If you tonight have not surrendered your life to his will, we invite you to do so as together we stand and we sing.
In a sweet voice.